Good afternoon, I'm Michael McNamee. Welcome to Twickenham, the home of English rugby, which for one day only has been taken over by over 80,000 fans in the blue of Leinster, the white and red of Ulster. History being made with the first All-Ireland Heineken Cup final. Ulster, of course, in a European decider for the first time since their only win back in 1999. Leinster, well, they're well used to it. They're trophy holders and they're going for their third victory in 4 years. Here on BBC Radio Ulster, we'll bring you every point, every try, every contentious decision. The kickoff here is at 5 o'clock and we'll be on air right through to seven and possibly beyond should they need extra time, maybe even a penalty shootout. Would you bet against it? Tapped on by Johnny Evans, tapped on very nicely for Paddy McCourt. He can run at his man. McCourt has got past him. Paddy McCourt into the penalty area. Chips it. Oh, what a goal! What a goal by Paddy McCourt! You will never see a better individual strike. Beat three defenders, chipped it over the keeper. There's a Faroe Islands defender lying flat on the floor. He can't believe it. Paddy McCourt's in a hat-trick. It's 4-0. It's a wonder goal.
It's a wonder goal. It's as good a goal as you ever like to see on any international stage. His composure, his calmness, to chip the keeper, it is different class. What a skillful goal it was. It's tremendous, absolutely tremendous. He's so relaxed as well, isn't he? He doesn't even celebrate. I do it hard.
What a goal. I tell you what, this will go down with all the Healy goals, all the Healy wonder goals. That'll go into the video collection of every Northern Ireland fan. What a goal.
What a goal. What an absolute fantastic individual goal. And he looks hilarious, doesn't he?
Alan's annoyed at how the format's been changed from the best of 17 frames to best of 11 in the early stages. He wants Hearn to resign. Hearn says he's too busy to worry about silly little boys making silly little comments. He says,
do you ever look at your tweets as you're about to send them and think, nah, I won't hit the button?
Sometimes, but it's normally hits.
So there are tweets that don't go into the Twitter sphere?
No, normally I look at them and then send them anyway, even if I do think they're a bit wrong, because no, that is my point of view at the end of the day. And I've gotten into a lot of trouble this year and had to pay a lot of fines, which I don't really agree with. And my management company are currently in appeal over some of my fines. They're quite adamant that I'm in the right and they're willing to take it to court. So, no, as much as I think I'm being harshly treated, it's not going to stop me speaking my mind in the future.
Do you regret those comments you made about China, conditions in China?
I think the only thing I probably said that I shouldn't have said was that Chinese people are ignorant. I think if you look at a later tweet, I changed it a little bit, probably didn't cover myself in too much glory by saying I take back what I said earlier, not all Chinese people are ignorant.
That's a population of 1.3 billion.
Yeah, I heard about the headlines about Alan's Twitter comment alienates 1.something billion or something, but no, I don't really look at it that way. No, the conditions were horrendous. I still stand by that. It's just
Did other players feel that way, but not?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of players in the same boat as me, but maybe just won't come out and say it, because the sad fact of the matter is that it's got to the stage that we're not really allowed to voice our opinions, and too many players are scared to do so because of the fines and stuff, whereas, no, it's not going to stop me speaking my mind.
I'll just read through the leaderboard at the minute in the Super Summer Club Celebrity Dartathon 2011. I know people are tweeting and keeping in touch with this and all sorts of social media. Alan Blaney, the Northern Ireland goalkeeper, is top of the tree on 223, which is 9 more than you scored last year. Paul Marshall, your Ulster colleague, on 206. And the main man, the Ulster Director of Rugby, David Humphreys, very creditable, 178 he threw at Stormont on the day of the cricket. And local cricketer Tamor Khan on 174. We go down, right down towards the bottom. Paddy McAllister, would it surprise you that Paddy threw 79 with six darts?
79 with six darts, that's Paddy for you all over, isn't it?
I think he was throwing them too hard. Okay, we've had our practice throw. Stephen Ferris is on the hockey. Six darts to count. Best of order, please. Oh, double one, starting with two. And 20, 22, he's a fast on the ball, man. 22 at 19 is 41. A nod from Grant. He's not keeping up the standard of last year. 41, not heading for double figures. 41, we'll give you 20 for that. 61, very generous. Treble 19, hold on. 61 and treble 19, 57, 108.
118, yes, thank you. 118, where did that bounce to? 119.
That was an easy finish.
119, Stephen Ferris. You're not going to win this year. It puts you one behind Andrew Trimble.
Oh, Trimby. Oh, at least I'm beating him on the DEXA score anyway. That's to do with a fat test, and so I'm ahead of him one thing anyway.
Well, listen, Stephen, great to see you looking so happy, so fit.
Okay, let's kick off with a quick history lesson. Back in the 1930s and 40s, the whole question of which Ireland a player could turn out for was a lot more relaxed. There were effectively two Ireland teams, one run from Belfast, one from Dublin, and players could play for both. Many did. Manchester United's stylish fullback Johnny Carey won caps for and captained both sides. The eligibility rules, though, tightened up from the 50s onwards. The current regulations are set down by football's world governing body, FIFA. The Irish Football Association, the IFA, looks after footballing matters in Northern Ireland, and its president is Jim Shaw.
It's fairly straightforward if you look at the FIFA statutes. There are four elements to it. If he was born in the territory of the relevant national association, if his biological mother or biological father was born in the territory of the association, grandmother or grandfather, and obviously there's two of those in each case, was born in the same conditions in the country he wishes to play for, and he's lived continuously on the territory of the relevant association for 2 years.
Now, along with where you were born and your parents were born and your grandparents were born, it's also a question of passports. In basic terms, everybody born in Northern Ireland can have a UK passport. They can also have an Irish passport. And that Irish passport is enough to allow you to play for the Republic of Ireland's football team, regardless of whether you have any family blood link to the Republic. This has always been the case since the Irish Nationality and Citizenship Act of 1956. I told you there'd be some history.
But at the moment we're still set for a full 50-over challenge game between Ireland and England. 24 runs on the board for England. Kiesvetter at the wicket. Deflects it straight to second slip. We're Ed Joyce. Feels very tidily. He's a dapper figure. Saw him last night. He turned up to watch his sister Isabel was playing for Irish writers team.
The world could be falling around Ed and he'd still be dusting himself.
I think
down.
Isabel Joyce is the first international cricketer I ever played in the same team with.
Oof. Well, you know that.
And she got her 20 runs.
You do know
20
there,
and out last night.
You do know there are five in the family.
Oh, yes.
You do know that.
It's Dom as well.
Correct.
Cecilia.
Correct.
And Harpo. John Mooney is in. Has he got the edge? Has he found the edge? It's been taken by Niall O'Brien, the first wicket to fall. John Mooney has struck in the eighth over. It's a catch for Niall O'Brien, and the first wicket is down with 24 on the board.
After his side's up and down 3-3 defeat at Lisburn Distillery, Gary Thompson with the late injury time strike for the Whites. We've been joined now by the Glentoran manager, Eddie Patterson, who saw a side lose 4-0 at home to Crusaders. It's Glen's fourth successive defeat in the Carling Premiership. Eddie, good evening to you.
Good evening, Michael.
Thanks for joining us. Gary Hamilton there said that the job at Glenavon was what he expected. Is the Glentoran job turning out to be what you expected?
A wee bit more. No, we all knew at the start it was going to be a very, very, very difficult job. There's a low ebb at the club at the moment when we're confidence and belief in the players is concerned. But that's something I'm prepared to deal with. And basically, those changes won't really be sort of won't materialise until pre-season comes about.
So we're going to see a summer clear out, aren't we?
Yeah, whether a clear out materialises or not, I don't know. I certainly hope that there'll be a different attitude with the players that are here and those that stay. But we are also looking to add a few new faces to the squad, and hopefully that will materialise over the coming weeks.
Is Leon Knight part of the long-term future at the Oval?
Well, that will would depend on Leon. You know, I had a chat with before the game today with Leon. Leon knows where we stand on the matter, and hopefully Leon will be part of this club next season.
Was he fit to play today? Was he dropped? Was there a row? There's all sorts of rumours flying about, Eddie.
You get that in football, Michael, and that will remain in-house. I've had a chat with him. Leon will be involved in the Coleraine game on Tuesday, and basically that's between myself, the player, and the squad at the club.
I really see a lot of potential in Portrush and the surrounding area, so hopefully
in not too long, you know, will fulfil that potential.
Well, as you say that, we're sitting here, the sun is now out at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's a beautiful summer's day here, and there's barely a soul on the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, well, you're seeing in front of us now, you've been in for a surf. The waves are brilliant. The water's not cold. We've got a beautiful beach. You can see Donegal in the background. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So everybody should come and visit, get off your sofa and come for a surf.
Where do you begin if you're a Chelsea fan? For starters, your head's probably still spinning for any number of reasons. You saw your team knock the holders out of the Champions League, witnessing a red card for your captain, some brilliant defending and goalkeeping. Well-taken goals too, but this could be a game remembered for a penalty missed by Lionel Messi. Hey, even geniuses mess up sometimes. Barcelona 2, Chelsea 2, the semi-final second leg ended at Camp Nou thanks to Fernando Torres' injury time equaliser. That made the game safe for 10-man Chelsea. 3-2 on aggregate. Chelsea go into the 19th of May final on merit, according to their interim manager, Roberto Di Matteo.
We haven't lost over two legs against Barca.
OK, well, we'll leave it there. The clock has beaten us. Thanks for all your text messages this evening. I suppose the answer to the quiz question, what are Vunk, Kink and Sag? They may be goal scorers, but they're also, that's also the sound of Northern Ireland's European Championship campaign going down the pan. From everybody here in Belfast, from John and Joel in Tallinn, from Tommy and Alan and me, Michael McNamee, don't have nightmares. Bye-bye.